It's Wednesday. You know what that means. Or it's Tuesday. I don't know, maybe. Welcome back to Record Breakers. Finally, we're back with the Record Breakers thing. Of course, a music podcast where a group of friends gather together to share music with each other, an album at a time. It's like a little book club for music. I'm Petey Grave. And I cannot recommend against getting COVID-19 enough. Here with me is my team, my squad, my very patient crew. We've got David.
Actually, everybody, that was all a work. We haven't really been gone that long if you pay attention to the podcast feed. Kayfabe, Zaddy.
Mm-hmm. We've got Drew.
I don't know what Zaddy means.
Don't take Zaddy.
Yes. And we've got Brett.
In my hand, I have a battery that has not been charged in 15 years. And look at it go. How's Nintendo doing?
Those SPs were dope, though. Like, those things
were ridiculous. While you're at it,
Nintendo makes a good product.
Final Fantasy VI, superior to all Final Fantasies. That's my cold take from 1993.
Yes.
Here's a fun fact I think I remember. Isn't that the Final Fantasy that Drew Scanlon played in Chernobyl?
Yes.
I like Sega Genesis and I had a Game Gear.
Hey, the saggy genitals is a fantastic time.
Yes. I will say I went ahead and Googled Zaddy, and it is not what I thought it was, which was a zombie daddy. So that.
No, it's not. So I would read that comic book.
Yes.
That sounds like a Drew album, Zombie Daddy. That's a Drew album, isn't it?
It's like, I don't know.
Okay, that's not as bad as I thought.
Yeah.
I feel like that's an album.
Got a trombone or two in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. We're gonna talk about
they went on tour with the Squirrel Nut Zippers, actually.
Yes.
What was that, 98, 99?
Somewhere in there.
Maybe 2000.
The guy who is repairing my amp makes amps for the Squirrel Nut Zipper guitarist. That's hilarious that you dropped the zips.
Wow. The zips SNZ. We're gonna be talking about an album completely not like that sound. We're going to be talking about an album by that I brought by a band called Jambinai. They are a kind of like a post-rock band. The name post-rock has been like the main thing that you'll find in all like the descriptions. Very like ambient, very like with some elements here and there. And the big thing is that they combine modern instruments, you know, guitar, drums, bass, with traditional Korean instruments, namely things like the hagum, the gamungo, which is are going to be the two main instruments that we're going to talk about going forward, or even instruments like the pidi, which is a really cool Korean classical flute.
That's why you chose this album, wasn't it?
it's really cool sounds that are uncommon to our ears and our, you know, that we've experienced. But it's almost like it's the trifecta. I've brought Mother Falcon, which is Western classical instruments. I've brought the Wagaki band, which was mixing the traditional Japanese instruments, and now bring it back to Korea, kind of bringing these like classical instruments with like a different sound from those other bands, but still it fascinating. But let's talk about expectations before I get into like more fully the sound. I'll go with David first. No, wait. No, I'll go with David last. Drew first. Drew, what were your expectations coming into this?
I don't know if I had any besides the fact that like I had seen this name before, specifically in instances of people talking about like interesting instrumentation. So I knew there was going to be instruments that I was not super familiar with because it's using old instruments from a country I've never been to. So it is something that I was ready to be unfamiliar with, but excited for that to happen. It's not as often that that happens. So I was excited to sort of hear the sounds, as it were.
Yeah. Brett, what were your expectations coming into this album?
Well, when you describe Asian music that's traditional mixed with Western style of music, the first thing that comes to my mind, no matter what, is the soundtrack to Naruto. And this ain't that. And then I did a little bit of research, and some of these instruments are very similar to some of the instruments that that we all know and love. Who here doesn't love a zither? You know, we'll get into that when we start breaking things down. But no, I was expecting this to be Western-styled music played more with traditional instruments as opposed to what it actually is.
Yeah. Deej, I know that you were a little more familiar. What were your expectations coming into this album?
Sorry, Petey. This time around on the podcast, I was a little bit ahead of the curve. Because when you mentioned the name Jambinai, I felt a little spark in my brain. And I recalled where I had heard them before. And it was, in fact, the Winter Olympics in Seoul in 2018. And I remember absolutely loving their performance. And I also remember spending time with their 2016 album, A Hermitage, as well as their 2017 album, Difference, spelled as it sounds, Difference. So I was actually fairly familiar with Jambinai. I love their sound. Just the idea of the modern post-rock dissonance with the traditional Korean instruments. I think they are really, really beautiful, actually. And I think these guys really, really work well. They create something really, really enjoyable. So, sorry, PD. I kind of already knew about this one.
Yeah.
But I've always said, when it comes to the Korean music outside of the pop world, I know a little more than I let on.
Yeah. I forgot to mention, we're talking about their latest album, Onda. I should have mentioned, hopefully you're following along with our playlist, you already know. Their latest album, because their latest album, I believe this is the album where they started, they've arranged previous songs for now in practical terms, a quintet, the original members being a trio, now employ a regular bass and drummer. Jambinai is at its core, it's three members with touring members helping them out. It is Kim Bo-mi, who regularly sings but plays the haegeum, which is not unlike, I think, it is a very fascinating like string instruments where it's like this like barrel on the bottom with a couple of silk strings, and it's played with a bow, and there's no frets or fingerboards or anything. You just kind of like mainly pull the string in various ways, and
it's a washboard bass but small.
Yeah. And fantastic, you'll hear that the most along with the electric guitar. And foundationally, you also hear Iiru, Lee Il-woo, if you're looking at the Wikipedia, but Iiru provides mostly he's kind of the front man. He'll play the guitar, the PD at times. Taepyeong Seo, he even plays an instrument called the Sengwang, which is just this bowl with these like 13 bamboo reed tubes sticking out from the top, like a little like castle. It looks like a castle that you with a pipe that comes out of it that you blow into. That is dope. We'll talk about that later when we talk about tracks.
I remember one of those from high school. It cost a lot. My friend broke it.
Yeah. And while then we were, the, while we were. Yep. And then drug we have humor.
I'm bad at it.
We have Shimin Young playing the Gomungo, which is a more of like, you don't, it's not as front facing, but it's there. It's not unlike a, oh, it got the Guayagum. It's not too dissimilar from a Guayagum, just kind of maybe smaller in a different configuration, and it's played on the ground, sitting down. But if you've seen a Guayagum, you've seen, like, this is a variation on that, kind of. But you play with, like, a little bamboo stick and on the ground, and you have this whole board that you're working with. And then, of course, like I said, electric guitars, bass, and drums. Flesh out the sound and the soundscapes, and it is post rock. It is experimental, like instrumentation, sound instrumental, but with some vocals here and there. And it creates great moods and ambiance. It does occasionally fall into like what apparently is a trope of like starting soft and then building to a climax and a lot of noise. But it does it really well, and I think it's right for the themes.
You're describing of this podcast.
Yeah, essentially.
No, it's mostly just a lot of noise here.
Everything I've heard is that there's nothing wrong with a climax and some noise, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
So Sting will have to beg to differ.
Yes. That's either one. Tantric either yoga Sting. Jokes.
But we try and keep it under an hour here.
Yeah,
I was going to say the entire late 80s to early 90s emo scene. Hold your may fluids, say. Yeah,
yes.
climax.
Yeah, but it builds well, and I think we'll talk about like key tracks and how they work well for the themes that they go after in a moment. But I think music is just cool. It just feels right, and the instrumentations that Hegum is just a very cool sound, and Kimbomi plays it so fantastically and provides such a interesting different moods as you go into the different songs with this very, what you would look at as a very limited instrument, but it's so dynamic. But the Gamungu is down there and laying a really great foundation, and the vocals are fantastic when you get them, especially when you get like guest classical vocalists. I will, let me focus on you guys so not make this too long. Drew, how would you describe this album musically?
Well, the one thing talking about this album for me is because I'm so like unfamiliar with the language, it's hard for me to put all my thoughts in the words, but gonna try because that's my job here. It has a
don't
bit
pay
of
you
everything
nothing for nothing.
I mean, fair. I haven't gotten my first paycheck yet. Yeah. That's what I volunteer here. The thing about the album to me though is that it felt like it had a bit of everything. There's a bit of like cool ambient sort of ness to it in the soft bits. It's very mellow, very relaxing in parts. But then it does have like these heavier feeling, like almost metal bits to it. There's a lot of like genre bending in ways, which I really appreciate. The musicianship is incredible. I don't know if that needs to be said. There's a lot of that to go around. But the crazy thing is, even with all the instrumentation and the way it's sort of taking tropes of other music and sort of putting it into spots here and there, it all fits. It all feels correct, which is crazy to say. At times, it almost felt more like a musical score and less like an album to me. Just because of that, just because it seemed like everything was sort of fitting somewhere on like very purposefully. And also I didn't look it up. I'm sure usually when I don't look up something like this, Brett has, but whoever was the producer on this needs like some sort of notoriety, because with the amount of instruments, it can get really dense. But it never sounded that way. It always sounded like everything was light. Everything was sort of in the air around you. It was a really cool, like, feeling. Like, it was a cool sonic feeling around that. That you get a lot when you have a lot of instruments like that. Thought just entered my head. That sort of thing is why I really like Toto and why I use them for checking sound gear, and why this might go into that slot as well, just because of that.
Yeah.
I'm going to put on Hold the Line and Rosanna just to check out these new speakers I got and stuff like that. Like, this is going to that production. Yeah. And the way this just juggles instruments in the mix perfectly, it might be on my short list for stuff like that. So,
Brett, how would you describe this album musically?
Nothing at all like Toto. Hey.
Or is it?
I didn't say it was like Toto. I said the production was as good as Toto.
Oh, yeah, yes.
It's different.
Or is it?
I don't know. I would really like to see old Luke.
I don't know.
Sorry. You're drinking. I don't need to bring up Soul Patch So hey, do you need an oboe in your life, or an oboe like in your life? There are multiple multi-reeded instruments on here. You need a bowed stringed instrument that's like tuned like your by tension.
Yeah.
There's plenty. You got an itch for the zither. I know I do.
Yeah.
Brett,
that you want the zither to come hither?
I mean, I always love my fretted and non-fretted zithers, ones that are either hammered or plucked. I'm down for all zithers. Bring them all, a whole plate. It's just saying. With those instruments, you may not be able, the barrier to entry is you're going to be hanging out sonically up here, where it hangs out a lot. And also the vocals sit below a lot of that. So there's some of that going on. But you heard about one of these 5-string bass guitars? Because there's some of that. The bottom end is filled up so much by like low bass, and like some of the most dugga 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 drums, the toms, getting work. Not so much like heavy in the cymbals and stuff, because that part of the range is where the strings kind of go. And boy, you hear the strings. The strings are very heavy. There's also like layering effects that are being done. Bells. Who here likes bells? I know I do.
And whistles.
But I mean, yes. There's a lot of vocal layering that's really neat. And like, I don't know as much about either of the traditional music genre of Korea, or the fusion that got put into it as much, but it does sort of track some ways. There are some things that sound very much like you wouldn't be, that aren't too far off of what you would hear turn of the millennium, like, you know, female vocals plus, you know, heavy doom metal type tone, but it's done differently. Some of the similar sounds are coming out of different things, but more often than not, like the overwhelming voice of these songs is coming from that bowed string that is singing and going, and like these songs, they breathe. They stretch out. They're not trying to cut off at 3 minutes. They do what they're planning on. And like Petey said, there's a lot of buildup. There's a big crescendo, and then like, you know, then the bass drops. And then you're into the chugga 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 chug. Which is not really, it's a hard thing to describe the chugga chugga and the dooga dooga, but it's not exactly the same. It is not one to one to like modern metal chugga chugga. And that was neat. Also, there was a lot of like room reverb going on as well. Like they were recording either together or in a room, because the like those sound waves were bouncing off of stuff in a way that sounded really neat. It had a very hollow sound because of that. And, you know, that builds a mood. And that's really, I think, where this album sort of sits with me. This album's got a mood to it, more than like a groove. Makes any sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good way to put it. Shout out to, of course, it was Drums Bass. Shout out to Che Jae Hyuk. And Yu Byung Koo.
Is he the guy with the awesome hair?
BKU or Yu Byung Koo on bass and Che Jae Hyuk on drums. Che Jae Hyuk is the dude with the drums. I know I've posted a couple of the performances, well, like performance music videos, things. But if you watch, I highly recommend go checking out like their live performances. They're dope. Because I forgot to mention that this is a band that I got to see at one of the K-pop Night Out shows in South by Southwest.
Everybody take a drink.
It was more like, now it's like more like Korea Showcase or Korea Night, because they often have like, well, these like indie bands, and they have brought out Gemini, and they were just, they're fantastic live. Just as a quintet, they're fantastic. But yeah, David, how would you describe this album musically?
Mood is the right term. I think that this album, emphasis on album, evokes a mood of, I actually think the album cover reflects a good picture. Maybe if the album cover were in black and white, it would be perfect, where you're out in the wilderness where it's kind of gray, but it's not like freezing cold and uncomfortable. It's kind of like a cool, comfortable fall morning, the mood that this album evokes. It's a little brisk, but it's not like you want to put your hat on quite yet, kind of brisk. I would say that also this album is not super vocal heavy, but the vocals that are there are quality. The vocalist said that since many people don't know Korean, they made the choice to use vocals more as an instrument rather than putting meaning behind the instruments. And that works really well here across the album. It adds to the atmosphere, to the entire scope of the album, where you're roaming through the woods on a brisk fall morning.
Yeah.
And also it is... there are definitely elements to this that I think my brethren in the world of prog would really, really enjoy.
Czech Republic? Yeah.
Yeah. I Genesis had a really good live album there, actually.
I've loved to visit prog.
Yeah. It's not exactly perfectly produced pop, which I'm okay with, but it is extremely well produced. And you hear everything, and it just kind of takes over the room. And it's a really enjoyable experience.
Mm-hmm. And we get into, like, songs, and we almost, like, named one of them. But we get into some of the key tracks. There's not...
Petey, can I go first?
I will.
Petey gets to go first.
Well, I go first, but I will let you mention your songs first. After me, but I will mention a couple of songs. I will say Sawtooth sets a really great mood to start with. I think in their interview, if you look it up, there's a great like write up about the whole album on their Bandcamp. If you go to Bandcamp .com. Jambinai.bandcamp.com and just look up their like, this album on there. They have a great write-up, including like personal quotes from the band. And they talk about Sawtooth being kind of like the sound wave that you expect. You know, it resembles a Sawtooth waveform of electronic music. Like, it's just a great name for that. But it does that great thing where it builds up and it crescendos, and it sets a great tone for the rest of the album. Sun Tears Red, which was written according to Iidu, it was written after seeing a documentary on Korean soldiers fighting for independence from Japanese imperial rule. And it's written from the point of view of like these soldiers knowing that they're fighting, they're gonna die out in the battlefield fighting for their country. And there's like a certain like mood, as we've been saying, that is set tone. Even if you don't understand Korean, you can feel the emotion of the theme of the song. You can feel the sense of purpose and the sense of like fear and the sense of like despair, but determination. And you can feel that just in the vocals, but especially if you go ahead and look up the music video, which has English subtitles, so you can follow along the lyrics.
I synced it.
Yeah, and that could be helpful as well, just to kind of like, it's good to just hear it without it, and then just watch it with the subtitles, and you can kind of also get an extra context for the tone of the song, the theme of the song. In the woods, as we've talked about, you know, in the woods, like Deej said, it's like 13 minute song where the theme is like pollution, environmental destruction, where it's this like feeling of being in the woods, in the environment, in nature, and then this goes into this like cacophony of almost like the thematically like feeling like the destruction of that.
The kids serenity. Really dig it.
Yes. The destruction of that serenity that just kind of like washes over it. And is, you know, meant to like kind of like go on that theme of like how we're treating the environment and things like that. And then it closes with two tracks, Onda, the title track, preceded by Onda Prelude, I believe. Let me double check.
Yes.
Onda Prelude.
Prelude.
Which is in Korean, or Into the Woods, that was Namue Deha. The Onda Prelude has its own title in Korean, which is Kudega Jinen Apumdur I Apumduri Bichnanen Chukpoke. Daddy
translation.
Let me see. I have to see if I can put it into Google Translate. But it has its own.
We'll fix this in post.
Which, according to Google Translate, is in English, the pains you've been through become a shining star of blessing. Or just simply on the prelude. But that is where you get prelude and build up with the sanghwang, which is just a cool looking instrument, and it has just a really beautiful sound to it. And I love the idea that, and if you look up on the Wikipedia, if you look up the sanghwang, they talk about how traditionally it was made with dried gourds, it was bamboo.
You're
sticks
a dry and a dried gourd.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. But now it's built like metal or wood and things like that. And it's just a cool looking instrument. It's just a cool sounding instrument. And then it builds up to Onda, which is just this like 9 minute. In total, it's 9.5 minutes. Just this like send off to this album that's just fantastic. Deej, I'll let you start first. David, what are some of the key tracks for you?
Sawtooth. I think that this one, the opening track, the first track on this album, It has a moment with a really loud crunching guitar sandwiched between two moments of noise rock powered by Korean strings, which is just phenomenal. Square Wave has a violin solo that is perfect for what's happening underneath it. This violin solo above this dissonant chaos that is just, it's kind of batshit, but also really beautiful and wonderful. And I love when my batshit crazy music is also beautiful at the same time. Sun Tears Red. As the kids say, mood. And I think that this, Sun Tears Red and In the Woods, are a great 1-2 combo. Those two tracks together.
Mm-hmm. Drew, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
Well, I guess I'll be the third dimension, because I'm going to do the me thing. Sawtooth. It's just, I believe it's like 2 minutes right at the beginning, and it's just slow, measured pace that builds. The instruments build, the sound builds until you get into that, like, sort of, like Deej said, sort of like a noise middle, which is very, very cool. Also, the sawtooth of how it plays out mixed with, like, sort of the droning, the sound going back and forth throughout the entire, like, underbelly of this song. The sawing motion of that noise. Sun Tears Red. There is, Brett mentioned, like a chug. It's not like a modern metal chug, but it's there. It is a driving force, and like, I think it exemplifies it perfectly. Like PD said, it has a mood to it. There is a lot of different emotion that can go along with it, but like the push forward into it, despite all of that, I think is like underlined pretty well here. And then 13 minutes, a 13 minute song has to do a lot to not get boring. If you're going to do over 6 minutes, you better know what you're doing. You better have it smartly laid out or it's gonna get dull quick. There's interesting stuff throughout that song. It is the slowest of slow burns. It starts slow and haunting and ends sort of almost smacking you in the face. But like I said, if you don't know what you're doing and you do a song over 6 minutes, you're going to be able to tell that you do not know what you're doing. They know what they're doing on this one. So,
yeah. Shout out to, while I have a moment, shout out to Che Hui Sun, who provides the performance on the Yangam on Sawtooth, a hammered dulcimer, which is like they mentioned that, the Yangam, but that is a whole other really cool instrument. And also Kim Bora, who's a traditional singer that provides guest vocals on In the Woods. Brett, what would be some of the key tracks for you?
I mean, I'm not going to say anything probably that hasn't been said about Sawtooth. Slow build up, and the dugga 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 dugga, as Carl from Aqua Teen Hunger Force would say.
Yes.
Oh, hold on there, Fry Man. You got to talk about another. You got to talk about another track there, Fry Man.
I'm like the drummer from Foghat. Square Wave. Square Wave, it's great. If I were to describe a square wave to anyone who doesn't know how a square wave sounds, that's what a fuzz pedal does to a guitar. It turns it into a square wave. You get some reverbed out female vocals that sit at the same sonic range as the strings, with the muted guitar underneath. Something you would put in, I don't know, I could see this being an Underworld soundtrack. Like back in the day, it's that Event Horizon, the overlapping almost looping effect, with the drums doing the dugga 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 dugga. No Sam Neill, but still cool. Sun Tears Red, or Tears Red. I don't know. But I watched tears, and I Tears Red. So I watched the video of this. I was going to bring that up as well, because I, you know, when it comes to this stuff, it's it. You probably want to put your eyeballs on and see how it's done, because I certainly did. And the, you know, the mix of, you know, scream vocals and room echo and like, yeah, it and all kinds of bow on string. Nothing cuts through a mix quite like that. It is piercing and to good effect. Not exactly a straight up headbanger, but I don't think this is what that was supposed to be.
Yeah, no. Yeah, let's talk about some conclusive thoughts. Drew, what will be your conclusion on this album as a whole?
Before I get to that, I wanted to say, he said Underworld, but my brain pictured Undertale, and I got real lost. You know, that on
would, that's a little... That's a
this
lot.
Would work
I
for
mean,
some
there
of
are
the
square
battles.
Waves in Undertale.
Some of the battles, it would work.
Some of the battles.
There are some great chiptune use of square waves. That's also a different, thing.
Yes.
Different.
We'll get Crash faster in here and we'll do some of that. But this is one of those albums where everything I heard, I liked. Everything about how it was made, the instrumentation, the musicianship, I liked. But it's one of those albums where it is not the type of album that I would normally put on in the background, get some work done, or put on while driving down the street. It's something where it begs to be sat and thought about, because I think it's that well done. And it's that in depth. It's almost like a jazz album in that sort of way. I would not suggest it to most people. But we use his name a lot. Mr. Squiggles, I would suggest this too highly. Yes. But like other musicians, other people who have gone into music in a very deep way like that, I think is the audience for something like this, because it gets you out of your, especially American people who have gotten deep into music, because it like sort of pushes your boundaries and like I understand how to play an instrument, and you've never seen, like, good chance you've never seen these instruments before, so it's something that's very different. But like, would I suggest this to my buddies at work? Probably not.
Fair enough. Brett, what would be your conclusion on this album?
I mean, I think I would probably be way more into this if I were into the Western half of the fusion. I'm not really into drop tune chug rock ambience to begin with. That's me. Aside from that, like it does get squeaky at times, and that is something that can be off-putting. It wasn't for me because that's fine. Like I if you have a sensitivity to like violins or harsh harmonicas or like, you know, fiddle jazz, you might not be into this, but like I didn't have any problem with that. I don't know exactly who outside of this, like the set of us and our plus one squiggles, who I would actually say, hey, listen to this, but that's me. That's not a problem with this album. I enjoyed listening to this. This is like, I learned about the history of these instruments and like, oh, hey, they got zithers over there. Like, yeah. Like there's the cultural exchange of music happened long before I had any, like, I have knowledge of. The more I go back, the double reeded instruments are kind of a ridiculous thing. I learned some stuff about traditional instruments and also what you can do with them. This makes me want to listen to straight up traditional Korean music played with these instruments too, to see, like, to have a context for the parts that were put into this cake. You're not gonna probably have like an earworm hook like stuck in your head, but like, I don't know. I listened to this album so much, an entire term of COVID and Christmas went by, and I had no problem putting this back on.
It's only been a week, kayfabe.
I had no problem with this album. I had a good time.
Yeah. David, what would be your conclusion on this album?
Petey, I will let you know that this was not exactly a meatball for me, but I would say that it was definitely a double. And if it got right into the right spot in the gap, I might run it out for three. I've still got a little bit of speed left in me to maybe run this one out for a triple. Who I would recommend this to is someone that does not necessarily have any kind of need in their music for song structures that are typical to Western music. That's me, big time. I would also say that if you are someone who enjoys a lot of modern prog and djent, cough button, this might be one you check out. I really enjoyed this a lot. I genuinely loved everything about it. Just the entire album is a whole piece that I think is just a wonderful meal that I would love to have another plate of. As I said at the beginning, this was a group that I was already familiar with, so I kind of cheated. I already like them, and what they did is expand on their sound to make it more of what they were already creating. More in depth, more dissonance, and just a stronger version of what they'd already been doing. And dare I say, this might be my current aesthetic album. Highly recommended.
Yeah, I highly recommend at least giving this a shot, especially if you are into experimental ambient rock, prog rock, post rock. Because it brings that, and it brings it with new sounds and new soundscapes that might expand your horizon. Like, it is very much that Hegem is right in the front, but it is a very cool, very like ear catching instrument that almost sounds like a horn at some times, but it is fantastically dynamic, especially how well it's played here by Kim Bomi. It's the moments of emotion, the moments of ambience, the moments of moods, different themes of the songs. It are an experience. It is either sitting down with your best speakers or sitting down with your headphones and just signing up for a whole experience. It is not maybe your workout playlist tracks. Maybe not your like
Drew might said. Be mine. Might maybe be mine.
But might not be everybody else's. But that's okay. I think this is something where it has a beautiful purpose and a beautiful mood and a beautiful time for when you want something like this. This really well made ambient, you know, instrumentals with vocals that are treated as instruments. Especially maybe if you don't understand Korean, like I haven't gotten there yet. But it is well made, well constructed, well built. And if you can, when we can finally have things live, or if you happen to be in South Korea, and you can see these this band live, I also highly recommend it, because that is also a oral experience that is worth having.
Giggity.
Yeah. Yeah, Jump and I is fantastic musicians and a fantastic cultural export that is worth at least consuming and experiencing at least once. Yeah. Let's get down to the main event of the evening, the moment we've all been waiting for. The
Japanese
the,
poetry.
Our haiku reviews.
About a Korean album.
Yes. That has a song. That has a song.
We stick with it.
As a song, a Korean album that has a song talking about Japanese imperialism.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry about that. But it's fun bit, hopefully. We get to our haiku reviews. The moment we've all been waiting for. Let's get down to the nitty gritty.
5-7-5.
Let's get down to the nitty gritty. Haiku numero uno. Drew, what is your haiku?
Not every day, but some good medicine to wash over you.
Mm-hmm. Brett, what is your haiku?
Interesting music. Not really my normal thing, but I can dig it.
Mm-hmm. David, what is your haiku?
It's moody, but warm. Brilliant mix of old and new. David says 5 stars.
Mm-hmm. My haiku, a dynamic soundscape, blends old and new into one, full but not muddled. Those are our haiku reviews, and those are our thoughts on Jambinai Onda. You can find it on our Spotify playlist. Play Record Breakers, the home game. Do your due diligence and your due diligence. Next week, we have an album as well. Hopefully, it's on that Spotify playlist. Next week's album is provided by David. David, what have you got for us next week?
That is an excellent question, PD Rave. Listeners, fans of the Record Breakers podcast, this is your old buddy David here, DJM. And I just like to say that on the next exciting episode of the Record Breakers music podcast, my album is something that I hadn't decided on yet. Because I was looking at the album in my notes for the pre-show, and then I decided it's not really the one I wanted after all. So,
Purple.
Nah, not that one. Do I want Purple or 1976? No, I don't want either of them. So, yeah, sorry, Petey. It'll be in the Slack chat soon enough, but right now, like creative, I got nothing for you.
Yeah. We'll let you all now know in the social medias, but it'll be on the Spotify playlist ready for you guys if I remember when I upload it. But yeah, go keep track of it on our Spotify playlist and our show notes on our website to keep track of all the updates.
Find it on your RDO, your with your MOG, your
I miss MOG.
Real Player? Is it in Real Player?
If somebody's
is it in WinMX? Is it on WinMX?
If we got somebody out there updating those, that would be fantastic. But all I've got time for is Spotify.
Is it on Audio Galaxy? Do we have Audio Galaxy?
God, now you made me miss MOG. MOG was still the best of them all. Yeah.
No matter. Gonna make a subsonic playlist.
Jesus.
But yeah, go and follow along on
RecordBreakers.com. Music Match.
Hey, is it on Music before Match? You do your end spiel, PD. I'm gonna say it. And I'm sure there are other people out there that'll say it, but gonna put it on video. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you got out of the woods on that one.
Glad I'm okay too.
Be careful out there, folks.
Yes. Be careful out there. Don't be stupid. I wish I didn't have to leave the house. Fucking retail. I'm an essential worker.
Apparently in Ohio, they're trying to push that button.
Yes. But yeah, you can of course find, that'll be, in, You'll find out all the information about next week, but that'll be next week, and this is this week. And you can, of course, find us all over the internet. David is at Call Me DJM. Drew is at XJucifer X. Brett is at HeyBDBearBird, HIBBI2IBIBARD. I'm at PD Rave. The show is at 4 Record Breakers. That's the number 4 Record Breakers. RecordBreakersPodcast.com for the show. Rebelly.net for this and other shows. Rebelly TV on Twitch and on YouTube. We stream. Once we get it back into this flow of things, we'll be streaming our usual schedule, which is D&D on Tuesdays, Record Breakers on Wednesdays, and Space Trucking on Thursdays. I have a couple weeks of like not working right now, so I might do some extra streams. Everspace 2 just hit early access. I'd already had access to it, but I figure I'm going to do it now. Check out some of that early game stuff. See how it's looking now. So I might do a stream there. Just keep an eye on there. Just follow Rebelly TV on Twitch, and you will be notified when, even when we go live. If it's, especially if it's outside of our schedule, it's the best way. And if you happen to have the Twitch Prime sub, you're looking for somebody to throw it at. You can throw it at us, and at some point I'll have to figure out how to get access to that bank account, the business bank account, because I have no idea.
Well, when a man and a woman love each other very much, Petey.
Yes. Check us out everywhere. Follow us, like, share, subscribe, leave reviews, do all the things. Until next time, hasta los huevos.
Toodaloo.
Rebelly Podcast, baby.
The noise gate is not letting that.
I'm not doing it well either.
Yeah.
I'm always afraid I'm going to break my teeth. Toodaloo.
Toodaloo.
Toodaloo. Hashtag fine, Luke.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.